Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/redcircle.
Come on in.
I'm Lainey.
And I'm Laura Beth.
And we are Steel Magnolias, two sisters who love family, traditions, and all things Southern.
We've got plenty of room at our table, so pull up a chair.
Hey, Lainey.
Hi, Laura Beth.
Well, we had a lot of fun with our episode last week.
Oh my gosh, so much fun.
We've gotten a lot of fun messages of y'all that are excited about the book we talked about, which fork do I use with my bourbon?
Love it.
Which, just as a side note, you still got a couple of days to enter our giveaway of a signed hardcover copy of that. So
that's a true prize.
Yeah.
For somebody.
Follow us on Instagram. Look for the post that is the book cover, and you can find the details to enter there. But one of the themes, I think, that stood out to a couple of listeners, and I think is a really good follow-up for us to mention, was, okay, love what y'all talk about. Love the angle of, you know, kind of using our experience with foods to grow our
palate,
taste buds, okay, and our palate, right? To acquire more taste towards bourbons, just like we would towards cheese was our example.
Or wine, or wherever, whatever direction you're trying to grow.
But where do you even begin? Where do you, like, what are your first bourbons to even try?
That's a fair question. I mean, if
absolutely,
bourbon, or whatever it is that you're growing your palate towards, touches your lips, you're learning.
Sure. But so, if you don't even know, if you're walking into a store this week and going, I want to at least try something. And
it's so overwhelming.
It's very
overwhelming.
There's
a bazillion choices.
We were in a store this week even, and we probably spent 10 minutes, maybe even more, in the aisle just kind of looking and surveying to see.
And we do kind of know
what they had.
So yeah, it still can be overwhelming.
So we have come up, in collaboration with Peggy No Stevens, a list of the top 5 bourbons to start with. Okay,
these just are your, to get growing.
These are your starter bourbons. These are going to be lighter or lower proof. And so it's just kind of a nice warm up, if you will. And you might love these for the rest of your life. This is not just starters to then bridge you to others.
Right. You may stay.
You may love these and never need to go anywhere. So, number one, Basil Hayden.
Yep.
Cool packaging. It actually even almost looks like a belt around
the
middle of the bottle. So if you're scanning the shelves and you're not seeing the title, maybe even look for that to stand out. These are in no particular order either. These are just our top 5. Number 2 would be Woodford Reserve.
Yeah.
That is just such a smooth bourbon. Go with, you know, just the traditional Woodford Reserve. And I think you'll be very, very pleased.
Yeah, that's a great bourbon.
Number 3, Old Forester 86. 86 being the proof. And so anything below 90 is going to be a lighter proof.
A smoother, yeah.
Yeah. Number 4, Maker's Mark.
That's an old faithful.
The infamous dipped in red wax sort of top. So
yes,
that's another one that if you're scanning the aisle and trying to find Maker's Mark, look for that really red waxy top that the bottle has been dipped in.
I remember the wife was the one who came up with that idea couple. And I was thinking, isn't that just, I mean, we care about pretty packaging. So
we do. And I've heard, have you been to that one? I've heard you can
dip
purchase
your own bottle.
Yeah. You can at the distillery. If
that's
you're
right
there for a visit, you can purchase one and dip your own bottle. So
which is fun.
And last but not least, Buffalo Trace.
Yep.
So Buffalo Trace is, you know, they have many bourbons underneath.
Each of these brands
yeah
do, but Buffalo Trace has some great ones
yeah
in their brand.
Yeah. So just look for their standard Buffalo Trace, and I think you'll be pleased with that. So
start
yeah
there. There's
those
your starting point.
Those are your top 5, and I think you'll be pleased with any of those. Those are a few different price points, too. So whatever price point you're trying to hit, something can be found in there. Okay. Anything else before we jump into today's topic.
Well, when you try your five bourbons, you may want to have a little bite.
That's true.
To eat, good. So you don't get woozy.
Good segue, sis. So we thought it's time to talk about food again.
People love when we talk about food.
We haven't touched food in a couple of weeks, so let's talk.
And I think a lot of people are cooking more right now.
Absolutely.
I know I am. And trying new recipes and,
yeah,
you know. So it is fun to talk about food.
So we're talking appetizers, Southern appetizers specifically. I love appetizers so much.
Oh my gosh, that's my favorite dinner, is to have like several appetizers.
Me too.
It's so fun and creative.
I could do it probably 2 to 3 dinners a week. I could have appetizers only.
I don't know if your family would love having appetizers for dinner every night.
No, they would not enjoy that, especially not as much as I enjoy it. But
I just love because there's different textures and flavors, and it just makes it fun.
Well, and it's very easy, actually, to, especially if you've already got them
if you've got the basics, like, yeah.
And you're reheating or, yeah. So, it's comforting, though, to me. You know, I know a lot of people would think of a pot pie as something comforting, or casserole, something creamy. But to me, bar food and appetizers, that brings the comfort.
Do you remember my friend Sarah saying, bar food's my favorite food group?
Such a great quote. Yes.
That's funny.
It's also, to me, tailgate food.
Yes.
And that is...
also something that warms our hearts.
I was going to say, it just is so such a good emotional tie to those sorts of foods. So, party food,
actually,
you know.
Actually, as is bourbon, so.
Yeah, that's true. So maybe that's why I like it so much, but, you know. We just thought, let's talk appetizers today. So we have our lists. We compared a few beforehand, and we actually didn't have
a ton of overlap.
Half of our
list.
Yeah.
I've got my binder out, my appetizer binder.
Again, y'all, I don't want to pick on my sis, but she's so darn cute with her three-ring binders, and there's Post-it notes galore tabbing her recipes.
The ones I'm going to talk about today.
Yeah, so I will link to anything that I can find electronic copy or version of from Lainey's collective list, as well as my own, if there's recipes specifically that we want to share.
If I ever get to do a cookbook, which is a heart's desire... How fun. I'll just pull out, I have, I think, 8 binders and pull out all my treasures.
Oh, your favorites.
They're tried and true.
Yeah. Well, I think we got to start with the tried and true pimento cheese.
Oh, that's pretty classic Southern.
We actually...
Wasn't that on our first episode?
Yes. That's what I was going to say. Our very first episode, nearly 70 episodes ago, was about pimento cheese. And we thought that was a good place to start on Southern culture. And it's a great place to start for Southern appetizers. So the key to pimento cheese.
Shred your own cheese.
Yep.
Duke's mayonnaise.
Duke's mayonnaise. Those are my two. Must shred your own cheese. I prefer Duke's. That's what I have down on my notes.
That's
so
awesome.
If you had to choose between those two things, just at least shred your own cheese if you don't have
it
Duke's.
It matters.
Yeah.
Majorly.
It really does.
And I think extra sharp mix is a really good one, but different people like different things.
Yeah. I don't put a ton of like cayenne pepper or red pepper in mine just because I have a family that likes it more neutral.
Mm-hmm.
But I think if I was just making a serving for myself, I'd probably heighten the spice a little on that.
I typically use the Our Favorite Pimento Cheese recipe from Southern Living.
It's a good one.
It also includes toasted pecans. I just think it's
adds
a yummy
does.
Little kick to it.
It does.
And then you can also bake. You can do baked pimento cheese if you want something that's hot.
So that's nice.
To change it up a little bit. That one doesn't have the pecans in it, but it's really nice to... I just have that handwritten from my friend Laura.
Love
but
it.
But you can eat it with veggies or crackers.
Yeah.
But sometimes you want something warm in addition to your cold.
Great point.
Things,
great point. Yeah. Especially if this is your dinner.
That's true.
Okay, you go.
Well, what about deviled eggs?
We got to say deviled eggs. Yes.
Big, also Southern one.
So the thing I love, I actually saw a post about this once, is how many deviled eggs I can eat.
Right. If you're eating breakfast, you only want 1 or 2.
1 or 2 scrambled eggs, but if they're deviled, it's like 4 to 5. I don't know how the jump.
Yeah, seriously.
But they're so good. We just had some at Easter, and
made them for our Easter meal, and they were very good.
Yeah, you could see variations. There's ways people are trying to, you know, kind of gourmet them up, if you will. But the tried and true deviled egg with just your mustard yellow mustard and mayonnaise mix. Is
now I pulled
so
out.
Good.
This is one of my finds that not that it's super secret, but smoked paprika instead of just plain paprika is like my favorite.
Really? Okay.
I like it on my deviled eggs. I like it in so many different things. In fact, a few things I'm going to mention here. So that's
okay.
why I pulled it out.
Is that your brand you like too? That's just what you had.
I just grabbed one. Yeah. This one's actually from España.
I know. I see it's from Spain. That's fun.
But one thing I wanted to mention about deviled eggs, I actually don't have a deviled egg plate.
I don't either.
So there's a new, there's an idea I found that I think is so clever.
Okay.
So there's a restaurant here called 1892 in Leaper's Fork.
Yeah.
And their chef does their deviled eggs a little different. And I just thought I would mention this because I think it's so cool.
Cool.
So most of the time you see deviled eggs cut, you see the egg cut
lengthwise.
Yeah. I guess you would say.
Yeah.
Where it's more of an
oval.
Oblong.
Yeah.
Shape.
Yeah.
He cuts his in like down the middle in half.
Okay.
So still you're fixing it the same. But
yeah,
it's
kind of more of a bowl.
And when he makes his mixture of his mayonnaise, mustard, etc., he puts a little down on the plate so that the egg will stand up.
Oh, wow.
Isn't that clever? And it's just a really pretty presentation.
That's a fantastic idea.
So I just thought I would mention that.
Love it.
And he does use smoked paprika in his. And, I mean, tops it with bacon.
Yum.
So anyway, there's a little tip on if you don't have a deviled egg plate like I don't.
I love it.
You don't.
I love it.
It's a way to do it.
That's so fun. One of my favorite recipes and appetizers is crab cakes.
Oh.
Love me some crab cakes, y'all. So I follow a recipe out of the Charleston Receipts cookbook. That's actually the Repeats cookbook is the one I have. Like these are the tried and true. And this is from the Junior League of Charleston. And their recipe is very basic. That's another reason I love it. Y'all know I love my simple recipes. It's literally just butter, flour, milk, egg, crab meat, Worcestershire sauce, poultry seasoning, salt, pepper, Ritz crackers to make your breadcrumbs.
If you have good lump crab meat, don't mess it up.
I was going to say, but you got to get you some good lump crab meat. That would be the key because all those other ingredients are very pantry basic. So... yeah, crab cakes are wonderful. They're hearty. It's a good source of protein. Yum, 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 yum. Love me some crab cakes.
Now, I've got a few I've mentioned on here before. Is that okay if I continue to mention
them again?
Well,
yeah, we've mentioned all three of those things, I'm sure, before. We're just putting them all in one episode.
These are just classics for us. So I have a little slider that I make that is tried and true. Everybody goes crazy over
them. I love it.
It's the Kentucky Hot Brown Slider.
Yes.
So you make them on those little Hawaiian sweet rolls.
Yes.
And it's just a turkey, bacon, cheese kind of sandwich, but you make this topping that's Worcestershire and, butter and brown sugar.
Mm.
And so you pour that over it and let it sit before you bake it. And it kind of just settles in that yummy sweetness in that sweet bread.
Yeah.
Girl.
Yeah. Do you refrigerate it?
You refrigerate it
with
before
that
you bake it so that it kind of gets everywhere and hardens. And, it's glorious. So that's one of my favorite.
Well, I love that one. While we're on sliders, I'll mention sort of a sister to that is the Ham Delights.
Yes.
Also, the key ingredient there is King's Hawaiian Rolls. You can't do it on any other bread. That is the key ingredient. And these are ham, obviously, instead of the turkey you just mentioned. They are baked little
with
sandwiches of goodness.
And these kinds of things are all gone if you take them to a gathering.
Absolutely.
I mean, if you want any for later, you better make two pans.
That's true.
There's not going to be any left.
And they reheat well. So that's another good appetizer to have, especially if you're wanting to make something that will last beyond whatever you're making it for in that particular event.
Little sandwiches are just nice, too, because you can easily pick them up. They're filling.
They are filling. You got to have some meat for the guys, too. But I will say I have sort of a very feminine sandwich, which, I mean, I'm calling it feminine because I just imagine them at every, like, shower
luncheon.
That I've been in, luncheon and brunch that I've been to, which is you got to have some sort of chicken salad something, right?
Okay,
so,
yeah.
Whether it be, like, kind of in a puff, if you will, some sort of pastry puff or, like, a little croissant. I'm using my hands to, like, kind of describe how many I'm imagining chicken salad things being, because chicken salad you can't eat a lot in like one big bite, right? So you got to make the sandwich itself small so the ladies at the luncheon you're at aren't making a big mess on their face. But yeah, I mean, something involving chicken salad would definitely be a Southern appetizer to me.
I would totally agree with that.
Love, love, love chicken salad.
Okay, I just pulled out of the binder to see where I got this recipe because it was like a cool little brochure.
I see.
This one is pecan. I'm going to mention has pecans.
Okay.
But this recipe came from the Georgia Department of Agriculture.
What?
It's the Georgia Pecan Classics.
Oh my gosh.
There's several recipes.
I don't know if I'm going to find this one online, y'all. I might have to take a photo.
And it says very good
next
to it because we do that sometimes if something's very good so we remember. But it's just a pecan cheese ring.
Yum. I love when you make this.
And so it's just a cheese, like picture a cheese ball. You can even make it as a ball if you want, but it's mentioning it kind of in a ring shape. It's very basic as far as it's just the extra sharp and sharp cheese, onion, mayonnaise, red pepper. But what's kind of cool about it is on the outside, you put these chopped pecans, and then you can top it with strawberry preserves.
So good.
And I'm telling you, the mix of, you know, I like different textures, but the cheese with the pecans and the strawberry jam on a little cracker is such a good
combo. It works.
Combo.
Every time it works. So, it is the sweet and salty in your mouth all at once.
That's one of my favorite cheese ball kind of things to make. And pecans are very Southern.
I was going to say, even just pecans in general, I have down. Like a bowl of pecans, sugared pecans.
Oh, or salt, or spicy ones.
Spicy
There's
pecans.
There's so many wonderful ways to make that. I have that in my binder, but I've got to find the right tab.
Oh, okay.
Right. Okay, I found it. So my spiced pecans recipe... it's kind of interesting because you take the pecans and you pour apple juice over them. And then you let them stand for 15 minutes. Then you drain and you put apple pie spice and salt and red pepper on them. So it's kind of a sweet and spicy together situation.
Yum.
So that's my little...
Those are spiced pecans.
Spiced
then.
Pecan.
Okay. I love that.
And then I'll also, before we leave pecans, I would say the pecan bourbon ball.
Heck yes.
Is a fun add to any gathering.
Yeah.
I do have a recipe for that if you want to put that up. But it's, you know, toasted pecans, bourbon, sugar, vanilla, cocoa, corn syrup. So you're making like a little yummy sweet ball out of this. Gloriousness.
Yeah. My stomach's about to start growling from all this discussion. I'm sure y'all's are. Well, I got to mention sausage balls.
Oh, gosh, yes. I didn't put that down, but yes.
Well, what's crazy is sausage balls to me are like the one breakfast food that can be served along with other non-breakfast foods on an appetizer spread. So, what I mean is, like, there's no way you could just put bacon strips out on an appetizer thing. You would usually couple it with something. You wouldn't just put biscuits. But sausage balls, boom, those could live alongside everything else we've already mentioned.
Until they're gone, which they do get gone.
Yeah.
Sausage balls are so hearty and wonderful.
I like coupling like a mild sausage and a hot sausage and mixing it all up together. Yeah. But if you don't like spice, you can just do
Just the mild
sausage.
Or if you're like me, you can do just the hot. But
yeah,
I'm with you. If I'm making them for a group, I kind of like a mix.
Yeah. And Paula Deen's recipe has some sort of like, I can't remember if it's mustard based or mayonnaise based. I think it's a mustard based sauce that she puts beside her
sausage balls. I don't know that I've ever had them with
which
the
we love mustard.
We love condiments.
We love mustard and sausage.
True.
Our great aunt always put mustard on her sausage biscuit.
And I do too.
That's what we do. So
fun.
Anyway, sausage balls, definitely a favorite appetizer.
Well, in the pork family, anything with bacon, like I would be one to grab those strips you mentioned just off the table. But I love this bacon jam that I've mentioned before.
It is so good. Is it hard to make?
It's not hard to make, though it does take... 1.5 pounds of bacon.
Okay.
Which is a pack and a half.
Sure.
You know.
Yeah.
So you're kind of committing to make a...
So, and not I don't know, remember how many ounces it's going to distill down to. Your jam.
I don't remember what I ended up with. It does stay in the refrigerator for 3 weeks.
Oh, nice.
So that's good. Because okay. What I did was, that was a week that we were making several charcuterie boards.
Yes.
And so I just made a batch, and then I had enough over the next couple of weeks for my little charcuterie boards I was doing.
Yeah.
So, anyway, but it's maple syrup, brown sugar, onions, bacon.
Yeah.
I mean, all things good in one.
Yeah.
Skillet.
Yeah.
You make it typically in a cast iron skillet is the best way.
That's so good. Oh, so. That sounds so good. Well, I'll mention a few seafood-esque appetizers. I did already mention crab cakes because it's so high on my list. Mm. I wanted to go ahead and talk about it. But you got to mention shrimp cocktail, cocktail, and just some basic cocktail sauce, which I like making my own cocktail sauce because I can then control
how spicy
it is. Yeah. So, shrimp cocktail and oysters. That's definitely...
I love a char-grilled oyster.
Do you really? Mm-hmm. So, I've never actually served oysters. I'm not a big oysters fan, so I don't have, like, a go-to preparation to mention, but it's definitely a southern appetizer that's got to be.
Especially coastal places.
Yeah, yeah.
I made smoked jalapeno poppers.
You
recently
did.
And they were so good. I think of that as very Texas. So
yes.
I know it's not Southern specific, but it seems very Texas
I would
to
agree.
Me.
Yeah. Texans. Yeah.
And I already was going to be smoking some pork. And so I thought, I've got these jalapenos. I'm going to get the stuff to make stuffed jalapenos. So I looked up recipes and found one that had tons of great reviews.
Okay.
And it's really yummy because you make it with cream cheese, cheddar cheese and turkey stuffing.
Oh.
So you mix all of that and onion together.
Yum.
Put that in the inside, wrap it with bacon.
Yes. Yeah.
Again, if it's smoked and it's wrapped in bacon, I'm going to like
Hey-o.
It.
Oh, yes.
So those were fabulous.
That is so fun.
I shared them with 3 other people and they all thought they were great.
So they would also add to the good reviews.
To the good reviews.
That you saw on that.
That's correct.
I love it. I've made, I think they're just called asparagus rolls.
Okay.
Before, I haven't made them in a long time. But just exactly what it sounds like, asparagus wrapped in some sort of bread, usually like this recipe called for a wheat bread, but I've seen it where anything flaky, honestly.
Okay.
You could wrap it in, and then cream cheese. It's going to hold, it's kind of like a cream cheese mixture. I can't remember what else is in it.
Is the asparagus already cooked?
It is.
Okay.
Yes.
So it's not crunchy and raw.
Yeah. Yeah. But
okay.
You do.
That sounds good.
You do bake it again. So it's going to get a little bit more cooked.
Okay.
And those are good. And obviously a good vegetarian option too. If you've got a lot of other, you know, seafood and bacon on the table,
that's
this
true.
Is a nice little something
that's
almost like a sandwich, but it would be vegetarian.
Yum.
So, yeah.
I think of Vidalia onions as very Southern.
So Southern.
And I have a wonderful spinach and Vidalia dip.
Yum.
I mean, creamy spinach.
I was going to
say. Spinachy dips are.
I have some kind of spinach dip on
my
list.
There's lots of popular spinach dips. They're all good. But I just like the pairing of bringing it in with the Vidalia. And I like to eat it with cucumbers. Because
oh,
they're
good.
You know,
yeah.
Crunchy. And instead of just another cracker thing.
Like, yeah.
I think it tastes good with. You can serve it with crackers or.
Yeah.
Anything.
Yeah.
But I like it with cucumbers.
That sounds so good. The spinach cheese ball that I am used to making came from a friend of our mom's from way back when.
Oh, gosh. Yes.
And it's just a cream cheese-based spinach ball. But it
has that Knorr vegetable mix in it. That's a good one.
Yeah. So and that might be it. That might be the 3 ingredients. I always have a hard time because it does call for... you get frozen spinach and then thaw it out, obviously.
I mean, you have to drain all that water off of it.
I have such a hard time getting the water drained off of it. I feel like I waste all kinds of paper towels.
Which are in high demand at the moment.
Yeah, I'm not making it right now. But yeah, so anyway, if anybody has any tips on how to better thaw out spinach that you need really, really thawed and dried out, let me know. But yeah, I love a good spinach dip. I love a good warm spinach dip, too. I don't have it on my list,
but... the artichoke
dip. I was going to say, do you remember that
artichoke... They make at J. Alexander's.
Oh, is that who does it?
Oh, my God. They do a great one.
Yeah. Ooh. Well, I've had some at different people's houses. The Gilberths made that one time. Yeah. That was so good. It was a baked artichoke dip. I mean, honestly, the theme here is cheese, cream cheese. Though, seriously, sign me up. So speaking of cheese,
I think one of the Southern staples when you think of just hospitality is cheese straws.
Oh, yeah, for just sure.
Very basic thing to have out on a table.
Yeah.
You see them at a lot of showers and things.
Yeah.
But anyhow, just the very basic cheese straw. Most of the time it's in a long straw.
Looks like a straw. Yep.
Shape. The recipe I use is got sharp cheddar, butter, flour, salt, cayenne pepper, smoked paprika again.
Yes.
Which I just so love that flavor. Pepper and a pinch of garlic powder. But there's actually a lot of different things you could do with a basic cheese straw. If you want it to have a kick, you can dice up some jalapeno and do a spicier version.
True.
You can do different shapes. Like, who says it has to be a long straw?
Isn't
I saw
that
a recipe
brilliant?
That had, like, the cookie cutter stars.
So oh,
it's
yeah.
the same dough, but you can make it whatever shape you want.
Why have I never thought of this? Like, you could match it to whatever theme you're doing.
Right.
Like, this could be your thing that ties in your theme.
Right.
However,
you have that thread of your theme going through the party.
I love it.
Isn't that cute?
That's fun.
And then Southern Living did a recipe, I think it was Southern Living, where they made the cheese straws and then they topped it with different seeds. So they had put, just to kind of make it a little different, sesame seeds, both black and white. And then I think they even put, like, pumpkin seeds.
Ooh, I love pumpkin
just
seeds.
Just to kind of make it have, like, a little zip.
Yeah.
You know? So you can do different shapes. You could do different
that is so fun.
Things in it to change it up a little bit.
I love it. Those are great ideas. I have never thought of bringing variation.
Jazzing up the cheese straws. And I will also say cheese straws make a great hostess gift.
Yes, they do.
And they travel well. Like, if you want to put them in a little jar with a cute little bow on it or something.
Yes.
Like, that's a fun thing to take somewhere.
Yeah.
Or if you wanted to do homemade gifts or something like that.
That's a great idea. Love it.
There you go. Cheese straws. And then, again, staying on the cheese thing.
We've been on it.
That's one of my favorite things.
I know.
In fact, I've jokingly said about the five love languages. Cheese is my love language.
Oh, my goodness.
Okay. Ready for this? Yeah. Sitting down. Woodford Reserve Barrelhead Brie.
Oh, come on. So, just to mention as we started this episode, if Woodford Reserve is going to be one of your bourbons that you taste.
You've got it in your home.
Now you have something,
to pair it with. So, this glorious thing is, you know how people will bake brie,
right,
and then put toppings on that warm brie?
That's so good.
How about bourbon with dried apricots, golden raisins, dried cranberries, and dried cherries, which is going to kind of plump them up.
Yes.
And then put that on your brie with toasted hazelnuts and fresh thyme and parsley. I mean,
my gosh.
I hear an angelic choir.
If everything that we have discussed today was located on a menu in one restaurant, I would frequent this place all the time.
All the time. Maybe, yeah. I was going to say maybe we need to open one, but that's more work.
No, I don't want to do that.
Of
course, people are probably thinking, this place could be your kitchen, you know. But sometimes it's fun to have somebody else prepare it, too. That sounds so good. Well, the next one, and it's the final one on my list that I'm going to mention, could be more described as a side dish, but I'm going to mention it as an appetizer because I have seen it on menus as an appetizer.
Mm-hmm.
So, Fried Green Tomatoes, also a great movie and a great book. Classic Southern staple appetizer or side can be... I don't know. I would say best prepared in a cast iron skillet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're just going to cover it in cornmeal. You have your binder open to some
a little bit different one.
Variation of a recipe, but oh my gosh, in this picture, y'all, she's got...
So, I'm all about the presentation, too. And fried green tomatoes taste really yummy.
Yeah.
They're not necessarily the prettiest if it's just, like, thrown out on a plate.
Mm-mm.
Like,
they've
looks
been
a
fried
little greasy.
And, yeah.
You know. So, I have this recipe where they take this coleslaw, put a little bit of the coleslaw down, just a mix of coleslaw. This particular recipe also has some mandarin oranges in with the coleslaw, but I don't think that's needed.
You don't have to do that, no.
Just do the coleslaw. One fried green tomato.
Yeah.
A little bit of pimento cheese.
Yeah.
Another fried green tomato. A little bit more of pimento cheese. And hot pepper jam.
Oh, so good.
So it makes it have that nice little condiment.
Yes.
Already on it.
Yes.
It's a pretty presentation. You could do it as even like on a little salad plate.
Yeah.
Kind of thing for each person. Or just one big plate with several. Yum. So pretty. So tasty.
So yum.
We've already said if you've already got the hot pepper jam in your home.
Yeah.
You can also just put some of that on cream cheese with crackers, and it's so good.
So good. So Christmassy to me for some reason. Maybe it's the color.
Yeah, you could do red or green.
Yeah.
But I typically have the red
version.
But one other recipe I came across mentioning green tomatoes. This is not fried.
Yeah, just green. Yeah.
But it's grilled green tomatoes caprese.
Mmm, some mozzarella.
With the fresh mozzarella and basil.
Yum.
Just do a little grilled tomato with the balsamic and the basil and mozzarella, just like you would have a red caprese salad. You can do a grilled fried.
Wow.
I mean, a grilled green tomato.
Well, I did want to mention green tomatoes. There's two types of green tomatoes. Those that are green when they're fully ripe, which is usually going to be like an heirloom tomato.
Uh-huh.
It can be fully ripe and be green.
And still be green.
That can be used for what we're
these
describing
recipes
here. And also nearly ripe green tomatoes. So they might feel even a little soft. They can be ripened in a paper bag, you know, on the countertop. But those could, a nearly ripe green tomato apparently could also be.
So you're saying a tomato that will later turn red.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But when they're still not red yet and they're green, they're usually kind of firm.
Yeah.
Which makes them nice.
Yes.
For frying.
Yes. So. Anyway.
Ooh, I'm hungry.
Well, I was going to say, that rounds out our Southern appetizers list, and we got to go because now we're hungry. but I would love to hear if others have some Southern appetizers that are go-to in their household or a favorite that they've seen on a menu in a restaurant. And, what else would we say to our folks?
Try something new while you're eating at home more than usual. Try a new recipe. Let us know if it's good. And I know I'm doing some of that. Now I'm kind of wanting to go make a version of a cheese straw.
I know. I'm so inspired by your cheese straws. That was really very eye-opening. I don't know why I've never thought about that before. But anyway, hopefully we've inspired y'all as well. And again, go check out our Instagram page. Get your entry into the book contest or giveaway.
You're going to want that book.
You are. There's also a lot of great recipes and ideas for entertaining and bourbon knowledge in that book. So,
cheers, y'all.
Yeah. See you here next time.